Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Grant and I'm Partnerships Manager here at Digital Construction Skills. And today I'm absolutely delighted to have on the podcast George Harrold, CEO of IFS Solutions. George, you're very welcome and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Chris. Delighted. It's great to be here. Like, you know, I'm really enjoying meeting with yourself and Saffron before and talking about the different events around digital construction. So yeah, definitely happy to talk and discuss what's happening in the industry.
Right, George. So what I'll just do for people who don't know, IFS Solutions are an award-winning company who have pioneered digital transformation, in particular managing building information for the whole asset lifecycle. So for me, there's nobody better, George, to come on and tell us and help us make sense of the language of information management and tell us why it's important for everyone in the sector, including construction SMEs, to get to grips with it. So George, can we just begin by just talking us through what we mean by the common data environment? You know, what is the purpose of it and why do we need it?
Well, I suppose a bit of background to us and how we got to this particular position in our own company. We started the company 20 years ago, I set my colleague of mine, Kieran Began, and that was when we were in Bottle Street College studying building maintenance, of all things. And one of the big focus from our point of view was if we, when we started our company, was what information do people use to manage and maintain their buildings? So that was always a huge, big area of focus from our point of view. And what do these owner-operators do to manage? And at that stage, it was really, really predominantly paper. Lots of paper. Then you're moving into that whole CD space. Then you moved into on-premise applications. And we were already developing our own software to manage all this, what we called handover information, which is all your operation and maintenance manuals. And then we subsequently looked at the whole area of, well, what else is what the other stages, that design and construction stage, and then the FM stage, because that was really a big focus for us, was the FM piece. When you have all this design, construction, and building information, how is it actually going to be used for the FM and operations point of view? And that was a big process that we wanted to really tackle, because really speaking, all the information that we generate on our construction projects used for design and construction, and then ultimately for handover. But all that information is going to be used for the next 20, 30 years to keep that building up to date and really maintained and operated properly. And without information, and without the right information, what happens is you go back to square one. It has to be put in the process. And that's what that leads us on to the next particular point there, Chris, the CDE. And we were looking at these different CDEs. We're looking at how they were being used. And the majority of CDEs were either being brought in by the design consultants or brought in by the main contractors for their business processes to be used at those particular stages. But we also wanted to look at a point of view from the owner-operator. The owner-operator was actually funding the whole process. He was funding the project. But what does he see at every individual stage of the information? He may only see, and he may only go onto the CD at particular stages, because there's a huge amount of information. We want to be able to look at, well, where are the other areas that owner-operator wants to see that information? Is it at each individual stages, for example? It could be concept, it could be brief, it could be design, it could be structure, it could be handover, it could be operations. But then how do you take that other information and keep it in a format and a structure where it can be used for the whole life cycle of the building, not just after design and construction? Because in most cases then, you're faced then with having all your information in a box, in the sky, for example, and there's so many thousand documents, you could spend half a year looking for that one specific document. So it's unstructuring the information, but giving people access to the information, and most importantly, the owner-operator. And I think also, Chris, when you tie the CDE in with the building safety bill that's just recently come out there in terms of what they're trying to push, it's pushing the fact that owner-operators need to be able to have their information available, but also give their tenants access to that information to see how the building's being maintained, has been accessed, and how it's being kept up to date. So it's very, very important to get that golden thread of information right through the whole process.
Absolutely. Right, okay, I see what you mean then. So transparency is a big thing then, George, just to get it from the very beginning to the very end. So it's cradle to grave, essentially, is what your solution does.
Very much so, Chris. And I suppose we're looking at all of them at the standards and what should be in place there. Like, you've got different standards like ISO 1965, which is calling out for the information to be developed at the very, very stage, but also to get people who are involved in the operations and FM of those projects to be involved in how the information gets structured, how it gets set up. So it's very collaborative in the way it should be looked at. It's not just a case of using a platform or a portal for one specific purpose, which is design and construction, but not looking at the long-term strategy of how the building's going to be managed, how it's going to be managed also from the operators. Then they're shifting all this information to other platforms owner operators could be using. It could be the IWMS, starting an integrated work management system, or it could be a computer-aided facilities management piece of software system. How is that information going to be structured in for other third-party applications, which are FM pieces of software? So we're taking everything into the individual stages and bringing it right back to the face. How we structure that information, how we set it up, how we name, how we distribute the information. And what does an owner-operator really want to see? He probably has X amount of projects at any given stage with different design teams, different construction teams. It's getting access to the right information all the time in a structured way where they can use as an overall team.
Well, that makes sense, George. So really, like a lot of what our project's about is to make it relevant to the construction SME sector and what does it mean to them? So maybe you could give us, you know, a few examples then of what kind of information, you know, would a contractor or maybe a specialist subcontractor, maybe someone way down the supply chain. You know, what would the asset operator want to see from them?
Well, the owner operator is the organization who's going to fund and manage the entire project. They're going to bring in the design team, bring in the construction team, and that construction team is going to bring in the supply chain with all those individual subcontractors you're actually talking about there, Chris, for example. But those subcontractors have a vital, important role to play in this whole process, is to ensure that the information that they're bringing onto the actual platform is correct and specific. And that goes through how it's being pushed through as being a submittal, and that submittal could turn into part of an O&M, for example, how their individual handover information, packets of information they're submitting to that particular building itself. And there could be hundreds of different components, there could be hundreds of different subcontractors on that particular job, but each one has a relevant part to play on the level of information that they provide the main contractor, who's going to ultimately hand back all the handover information back to the owner operator. So that's going to be so important. And then it's also having the ability to have subcontractors being comfortable with the process, bringing them involved, getting them involved. There's no point in leaving them out there. It's so important that everybody has a shared responsibility to get involved in the structure and the setup of these applications, want of a better word, CDE or platform, for example. And subcontractors are going to be so important because each one is going to be specific. It could be mechanical, it could be electrical, it could be groundworks, it could be partitions, it could be walls, but all major components. Mm-hmm. And the information, those components are so important. The guarantees, the warranties, the fire integrity information, the commissioning results, it only comes back from that subcontractor supply chain. So getting all those teams involved, getting them involved at the very, very early stage, bringing the FM and operations team right back to the very, very start as well, making sure that collaborative approach is being put in place so we can begin to see that golden thread of information.
Brilliant, George. Brilliant. So I think you touched on it earlier on ISO 19650, but that's a BIM, really, building information modeling. So what do the BIM standards encompass? Maybe we can expand that a wee bit more about that. And how does it help to manage the digital information better?
Standards are good because they're being pulled together for a reason to allow us to adopt and to work within a process that's being looked at, that's been reviewed by people in the industry who are so familiar with the process, and it's been put a lot of thinking in place. The standards are putting the focus on making sure that we get things right going forward also, and it's ensuring that we're working to a proper standard. If we didn't have certain standards in place, it would possibly still be a situation where the design team designs, the contractor builds, hands over the information. And then you also take into even the practical, so even the soft landings. And soft landings is a great standard also, because it's ensuring that the people who are going to own and operate those facilities are so familiar with the design, have input into design, have input into the construction, are also getting familiar the way the information is getting structured, how the buildings are being built. So that approach of working closely with the capital projects team and design team from FM and operations is really a great direction to start. And the soft landings team in the UK are really pushing that initiative very, very strongly. But it's really, really important that it gets adopted and gets looked at.
Brilliant, George. So as essentially the government soft landing, does that allow the client to manage the BIM process so that they're getting ahead of the game rather than actually the contractors or whoever driving this BIM process? This is a kind of framework that allows the clients effectively to manage a process so they're getting the right information at the right time for them and for their benefit. Is that essentially what it is?
Well, the soft landings is really addressing how we're getting more familiar with, as an owner operator, the design and construction, and how we're actually, and then as a design and construction team, we're bringing in the owner operator to make them more familiar with the buildings and putting in different processes at each individual stage, all very relevant and all very important, because it just makes sure we're getting more familiar with the buildings, the infrastructure and the information. Yeah. But if you look from the BIM point of view, Chris, really what we think is so important is to apply that information manager. And that information manager, who's independent but working directly for the owner operator, has a responsibility to set up the structures, the standards of the information for the owner operator. But communicating that out to the design team, communicating it out to the construction team. Otherwise, what happens is the appointment happens and people are walking off this standard and that standard, but really no one's kind of pushing on what should be done there, for example, and people are taking their own what they understand to be the standard and pushing on, and then it's been left to someone else. Now, there should be a sole responsibility, an information building information manager, to take responsibility for that information structure, to work off the client standards, the client's direction. So whatever team comes on board, these are the standards, these are the instructions, this is how the information is going to be shared, this is the information going to be set up, and we can actually begin to see the information being developed at every individual stage. And when I say the stage, I'm talking about the digital plan of work. You've got stage one, stage two, stage three, so you're going from planning, from concept to planning, to strategy, to design, to construction, how to, all very relevant and all very practical, but you need to act on them. And the role of that information manager, as you can see, you see yourself, Chris, we're all using devices.
Yep.
With the pandemic, our own company was extremely busy because people couldn't access their buildings.
Yeah.
And then because they're accessibility, they couldn't access their information. All their information was there set up internally. So we had to push the information out to our own cloud-based infrastructure to allow them to get the information. But it just showed the need that if that pandemic accelerated again, or even having access to my building information, I should be able to access it from a device. But I should go, when I'm looking at information, be secure in the fact that it's been reviewed, approved, set up, working to a structure, and rely on the information. You can only do that if you put the right roles in place. And that building information manager for us, getting appointed at that very, very early stage, setting this tone, setting the structure, taking control of the information, but not just through from design, but right through to operations and FM.
And then, George, just when you mentioned the recent times then and access to devices and all the rest of it and COVID and what have you, have you seen much change in behaviour then? Have you noticed a big change in that behaviour?
Well, I think it was more a bit of panic as well in the behaviour. People were just rushing around looking for that information and screaming, everybody, where's the information? I thought it was here. It should have been there. And then the blame game starts. And then someone is going to get finger wagged at some stage, like, you know. So it did accelerate that for definite, like, you know what I mean? But then you look back and you say, well, actually, hold on. If the project or a project gets specified properly, works to a specific standard, roles and responsibility are placed, information is placed as one of the cornerstones of that particular project and gets set up from the very, very start, structure put in place, and then as teams are being appointed to the project, take the subcontractors, for example. It should be clear to those guys when they're pricing the work, this is the level of information we want, this is how we want the structure. But if that's not clearly communicated, you can rightly understand where the supply chain are feeling a bit aggrieved that they weren't involved in this. Get those teams involved. Make sure they're aware of the processes. But someone has to drive that, and someone has to take responsibility for it. So you can't rely on one design team member or the construction company. They've got their role to play, to design and construct, The information management should be separate again, but someone needs to drive that, but make it very inclusive to bring the whole supply chain. I don't know what the supply chain is, designing construction teams, because but also FM and operations. Get them all involved in the very start. And once it's set up, then you're managing the information process.
You're totally right. Getting that involved is key. And I would say there's still a bit of work to do around that yet. But yeah. But anyway, just when we're talking about the process of information management, maybe we just talk a wee bit, touch on a wee bit about technology. You know, there's a lot of buzz about these days around like digital twin technology. You know, can you tell us, you know, what is a digital twin? And what are the key benefits of adopting this technology, you know, particularly from an asset owner operator point of view?
Well, the digital twin is in our opinion, is a situation where both you have your information, but it's linked back to actual sensors within the actual building. So you're getting those real-time information about the building itself. Now, to get to that particular stage, it needs to be planned and set out at the very, very early stages. You know, and the guy and the team who are going to own and operate the building have to have that vision that that's what they want back as well. Like, you know, if you bring certain things at certain stages, you got to get it right from the very start. And having those processes in place allows you to get to that stage where you have a digital twin, for example, and to get it right down to like a layman's terms interpretation of it. You've got the model itself, which is now set up and it has a whole information of the infrastructure of the building itself. I've got all my assets, I've got all my spaces, but within those spaces I have my sensors, for example, and the sensors are hooked back to the model itself, and it's giving me that real-time information of what's happening, even down to, let's say, air quality in the building, for example. What kind of stats can I push in my air quality? Well, you can get that good, meaningful report if the proper smart infrastructure is in place in the building, for example. Predictive maintenance, plan preventive maintenance on different assets, for example. Again, I've got my model, I've got all my asset information, but again, if I wanted that real-time data and to make it a real digital twin, I've got to have my smart technology hooked up to those individual components, and then structured in a way where I've got my model, my information, and my smart technology all working together. So to get to that stage, and I think it's going to go that way, Chris, it's anyone you will, you're working through your BMS, your energy power systems, your BIM model, smart technology, bringing it together and making them all integrate. So I can actually see in real time, And it will become a situation where I can go onto my mobile phone, bring up a building within my estate or within my organization, and be able to track the individual events that happened within that building itself. And again, that's the way it should be, because that lack of traceability or interoperability isn't really there at the moment. You've got to make sure that happens. I know one organization that we're working with, GS1, and they do barcodes from everything from a carton of milk right down to a product that will come from a factory, but it's that traceability from like a modern method of construction, from manufacturing onto design, onto construction, onto operation, and seeing how we can track the information. But then tracking it back down to sensors in the model, it gives that bit of uniqueness, like, you know.
Well, that'd be far better than a bunch of folders and try to find.
Yeah. we're already cutting down too many trees, so we got to make it digital.
Yeah, exactly. So you were touching a couple of expressions there, George, but we often mentioned like the interoperability there. So we often hear that term, and we also hear things like, you know, applied program interface, you know, APIs, yeah, in relation to information management. You maybe just clarify what we mean by this, and why is it important to understand what this is all about?
Well, interoperability is that if I have one platform of information with another platform, and that could be a CDE communicating back to a, for example, a CAFM piece of software, which is computer aided facilities management piece of software. So you've got the CDE for design and construction phase, then I've got my CAFM piece of software for my operation and maintenance of building. But yeah, I want to make the information right from the very start, right from that manufacturer's, before it even comes onto the site. I've got traceability and interoperability of that asset, for example. So there's a unique ID on that particular, and I can track it then, no matter what platform it goes to, I can still track the uniqueness of that piece of plant, for example. But again, it has to be done at the very, very start. If you do it halfway through, you know, it's time consuming, and is it going to work to the best of standards? Like, you know what I mean? So it's, again, what we'd be looking at is, if you have a project, start looking at this traceability. It's your building, it's your information. You can apply these standards to it. They're going to work. They've been proven, and it's already becoming legislation now. You can see that in the Building Safety Bill, where they're saying owner operators have to have this information. It was so tragic and so unfortunate that it took an incident like Grenfell to push this out there. But now it's becoming, and the pandemic, because we had no access to information, now it's a case of making sure that their information is going to be so important to us, have it structured and set up where we can be able to see it and view it and access it and use it then for all those good things. And an API, Chris, is just APIs between one platform and to another platform, or one solution to another solution. But once it's interoperable, there should be APIs between different systems. They shouldn't just be working in different silos. That's the key thing.
So effectively communicating with each other then.
They really should be, Chris. Like, you know, there's enough technology out there to do those things. Getting the information structured right is the most important thing. Without the information, it's like when you buy these platforms, they've got huge, great functionality, but the information is going to be the key to the building information.
Well, that's good now. So I've got to just talk about, you know, we're handover information here then. So, you know, we call, you might have heard the terms digitization and digitalization, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it's one of my bugbears, because they're often used interchangeably by many. And in fact, to me, they're two different and distinct processes. So how much information do you still see at the handover stage coming as scanned, you know, scanned bits of PDFs, or as we say, digitized information, as opposed to like that digitalized information? You know, what benefits would there be if more of this information was digitalized? You know what I mean?
Completely, Chris. You're dead right. You will still see, and we still see it all the time, on huge infrastructural projects, where at the end of the job, you might be, you're facing two scenarios: 100 banker boxes of paper or a big glossy USB stick. Let's take your pick at that stage. Like, you know what I mean? And you're going to run from, or you'll possibly run from both scenarios. But you see, in that situation, it wasn't specified. And if it's not specified or contractually set down, the building information objectives at that very, very early stage, you will relate back to then the original or the existing legislation, which is handover information or operational manuals, and it mightn't say a format or a structure or when the information should be collated or who reviews, who approves, what format, how is. So there's no interoperability, there's no traceability, and there's no opportunity to make that, because, as I said, it's you know, it's just a scanned information. Like, you know what I mean? Thankfully, it's in a digital format, which is great. Thankfully, it is, like, you know what I mean? And it can be, but really, to make it to a stage where it has an opportunity to be part of that smart environment, like you referred back to earlier on, Chris, like that part of that digital twin, you got to get it set up and structured in the right way, right at the very start. We would have worked on projects 10, 5, even up to the last year, for example, where, and even now, where there's still those boxes of paper being handed over because it was written into someone's contract. And it's not the fault of a contractor or anybody else. It's because it wasn't picked up how it was to be specified. Now, thankfully, you're getting a standard here called ISO 1 ISO. We say, no, the information should be set up in a structured way from day one, but someone needs to implement that. Someone needs to take ownership of it. And that's why the building information management role and responsibility is so important to come on board at that stage zero. So everybody's clear on their responsibilities. It's clear contractually. It's clear also how it moves from one stage to another. And that's the good thing about those standards. But again, if it's not specified or laid out contractually, unfortunately, there's no end to the level of handover information you're going to get at the very end of the job, you know? And that could be the same. And if that doesn't change very, very quickly, you're going to be left in that scenario. So it's really important that people start looking at what they're contractually setting up, their specifications, and what they're actually specifying, and to change that into a digital process.
Brilliant, George. Brilliant. We've already kind of touched on this a wee bit, but I'm going to ask you again, just maybe in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, how does the Internet of Things and smart devices fit into all this then? You know, I think we talked around digital twins, but do you think it's a thing of the future, or is it already here? Do you see it right now with even the technology you use? Are you incorporating like smart devices into that your
Definitely.
Solution?
If you oh, cool, cool, yeah. completely. It's only going to grow and develop further again, Chris. Mm-hmm. The smart devices, the sensors. Like, we've got sensors nearly in a lot of stuff we do in our general kind of ways of operating in society, like, you know what I mean? So bringing them into the building infrastructure, putting that smart infrastructure in place, setting up that structure is only gonna help and make things a lot more interoperable. It really will. They're developing the technology whereby, even if you go down to artificial intelligence and building information, if you go into virtual reality, it allows me to pick up a headset, for example, navigate an overall building, touch certain points in the building, for example, take down the information from a headset. That saves me so much time from walking down four or five miles to the other part of the actual campus to look at that piece of planting and to walk back, look for information. So the technology is only improving. And just making it more accessible or more workable. I suppose it's like everything culturally, we'll see it now becoming more of an impact over the next couple of months. And it's only going to enhance what we do, and it's only going to help us, I suppose, as a society, that we've got access to the information, that things are actually becoming a lot more operational from a building and an FM and an operations point of view. But yeah, I definitely think there's a whole space here, and it's really going to grow in terms of the days of the box of paper. The USB is going to be replaced completely, hopefully very, very soon.
Well, that's a very good way to end, George. I think that's actually pretty a good optimistic note. So, George, thanks very much for coming on the show today. And how would we get in touch with you?
Chris, thanks very much for having the chat. It's been really, really enjoyable. Our company website is www.ifacsolutions.com. Again, we're happy to talk or engage with anybody that's interested in talking further about us when they hear the podcast. But look, it's a huge space. It's only going to get bigger. You can see what's happening in the industry. Thankfully, there's companies like yourselves, Chris, that are really pushing out this whole area of digital construction. It's the way forward. It's unlocking all those barriers which you do pretty good in terms of making it accessible, like, you know what I mean? So, and that's the way the industry is going to go. I suppose the pandemic, the recent issues that we've had in terms of different tragic events has only made it a bit more clear that we've got to move in this direction.
Yeah, and as a compliance coming down the road, George, do you think is it going to become more of a compliance issue?
I think it will. I think that compliance issue has to happen. In other words, the certification on the building, even the acceptance of the information. Who accepts that information? Who reviews it? Who approves it? Who has got it to the stage where, yeah, I'm happy enough? Who's even brought in the FM and operations team at stage one? All those areas, if we get them structured in, and if they're in there from day one, and everybody's clear on the standard and the way the information's going to be there, it takes a lot of stressful situations, nightmares down the road. Like, I mean, they're in place, they're working, we've got a process, and people can see the information. I'd like to be able to see my information at stage one, stage two. Go on to my mobile device, look at it, see it's been reviewed, move on to the next stage, on the next site, that building over here. So it's technology that's there, it's just making use of it.
Thanks very much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Chris, I've really enjoyed it. Take care of yourself.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers, bye-bye.